Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a packed Monday. It is great to have you in. We are live in Los Angeles, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, not only where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, but Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, will stop by as well. It appears, Joy Taylor, that it's possible a resonating voice in Houston is saying, trade Deshaun Watson. There is hope in Houston.
You've seen the light.
Well, John McClain is a longtime columnist. He's been a columnist of Oilers, Texans for 30 years. And he's covered everything in that town, and everybody reads him. And this morning, he is saying, trade him. And they should. Finally, somebody gets it. Remember how this game works. If you don't trade him for free agency, two or three teams get a quarterback. You don't trade him for the draft, another five teams get their quarterback. What happens? There's probably only one team left that needs a quarterback. There goes your bidding war. I could make an argument. This is the perfect time to trade Deshaun Watson. Number one, he's coming off his best statistical year. What does that mean? His trade value's never been higher. It's only 2 years ago. People liked him a lot, but worried about his injuries. He wasn't an elegant thrower. Now he's off his greatest year. Number two is the Jets, Dolphins, and Carolina. You got a bidding war. You have a bidding war. Jets and Dolphins in division don't want to have to face him. They'd rather have him. Number three, it's a very strong year for quarterbacks in the draft. Next year's a terrible year for quarterbacks in the NFL draft. This year's a great year. Number four, Deshaun is completely healthy. Remember, and I've said this about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has one more injury. Deshaun has another injury. All of a sudden you get that narrative. Well, you know, his trade value, he is getting older. And number five is the Texans are rebuilding. They just let go of their center. They just let go of running back Duke Johnson. They've already said Will Fuller's not coming back. You're rebuilding. How do you rebuild? Draft picks. You'd get a boatload. You don't rebuild with free agency because free agents don't want to go to losing teams. So everything lines up. Remember, sometimes you just have to, in life, take the telescope and turn it. The pandemic's a great example. You can look at it every day as an obstacle, or look at it every day as an opportunity because you're shut inside to be closer to your family. I mean, how are you going to view it every day? You want to be morose and you want to be negative, and you think to yourself, I'm going to get as close to my kids. We're off the treadmill. We're jammed inside. We can't go out. What we've tried to do in my family. The NFL is not the NBA. You see all the time in the NFL, you trade the star and you win the trade. That's how Jimmy Johnson built the Cowboys. Their best player was Herschel Walker. Jimmy Johnson decided on a jog in the afternoon. How do we rebuild this thing? He's our asset. Let's trade our asset. They ended up getting Pro Bowlers and draft picks. The New England Patriots, in 20-plus years of that dynasty, moved off stars all the time. It's not ideal. You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes forever. You'd rather have a top running back, Zeke, forever. But this is not the NBA, where if you lose a LeBron or a Kawhi, it's over. You lost the trade. It's just a matter of how bad did you lose it. That is not the NFL. Sometimes in the NFL, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. The Raiders did not get crushed in that Khalil Mack trade. Had they not whiffed on their first-round pick for a pass rusher, they would have gotten a Pro Bowl running back and a top-five edge rusher. They just whiffed on their pick. So this game is not complicated. When a star wants out, the longer you wait, the less you get back. If you wait through free agency and don't take a call, you know, the Jets will get their quarterback, or the Dolphins will get their quarterback, or the Bills will get their quarterback. There's three teams off the market. Then in the draft, four or five teams off the market. Then you're left with no bidding war. You got maybe one or two teams max. It's the time. Turn the telescope around.
Finally, a voice in Houston. Take calls, get it done. Deshaun Watson has reportedly told them, I will never wear this uniform again. Okay. Guys, if she says, I'll never, ever again come back into the house if you live there, it's time to call a divorce attorney. You gotta get out of delusion. It's time to call the divorce attorney, and it's time for Houston to take calls. All right, so yesterday afternoon, I watched Milwaukee beat the Clippers. Clippers had the lead down the stretch and lost it. Giannis played very well. But it's interesting what is happening to the Clippers. Kawhi now shoots 28% from the field in clutch time this year. That's the worst in the league. Minimum 25 attempts, worst in the league. Paul George and Leonard were 0-9 in the last 4 minutes. It's interesting with Kawhi. He's what I would call a great mercenary, a plug-and-play guy. You bring him in, culture's already there. You bring him in, he gets a stop, and he gets a bucket. He's great at that. Darrell Revis in the NFL was great at that. You brought him in for a couple years. He's a great corner, made your team better. But in San Antonio, the culture was built with Popovich and Duncan. In Toronto, very well run. Kyle Lowry was the leader. The culture was built. Raptors have been good for years. Then in Los Angeles with the Clippers, hey, Kawhi, build our culture. Okay, that's different now. We all get that's different, right? There are certain people in my business. You can hire. They're funny. They're talented. You wouldn't build your franchise around them. And Kawhi is a loner. He's quiet. He's nonverbal. And we all know he's nonverbal. That is not, this is not a revelation, right? So there's generally two ways to lead. You're very verbal. You're very highly communicative. And if you're not, that would be preferable. You do like to talk and stuff. But if you're not, you lead by example. Well, we know Kawhi is not a lead verbal guy. Like, that's a given. He's very, very quiet. Almost odd in that sense. Okay, well, a lead by example guy. Well, that's not really him either. Lives in San Diego's, reportedly late to practice, load management, had his own trainer. Again. So he's not really a verbal leader, and he's not really a lead by example guy. Here's the thing, is that KD, Harden, and Kyrie, why is their chemistry so good? Because KD is a little bit more verbal, and KD understanding the burden or responsibility a star player has in any sport, Tom Brady in Tampa. When you come down and you're the star, there is a responsibility, especially as a veteran player like a Brady, a LeBron, a Kevin Durant. You're kind of the grown-up in the room. You're the highest paid. You're the grown-up. And Kevin Durant deserves a lot of credit for making this whole thing work, even if he's not playing all the time. There's a certain burden to be the second-best player in the NBA. You go to Brooklyn, and you got to build this thing. And, I mean, Kyrie at one point just left. And they kept winning. And then Harden comes in. It's like, one basketball. Kevin Durant deserves a lot of credit for this. Kevin's a guy among players. He's very respected. LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is quiet. That's okay. LeBron's the better player. He's very communicative. But Kawhi's the best player, like a Durant, LeBron, or a Brady, but he's nonverbal and he's not lead by example guy. And I think the Clippers keep waiting for him to, like, create this culture. That's not what he does. I mean, remember last year, I was wrong on this. They had the best team. They had the deepest team. And the roster was ridiculous. It went nine deep. What was the thing they were missing at the end? Chemistry. Once again, what are they missing this year? They're bad at the end of games. That's chemistry. That's communicating, being verbal, understanding, not just talent. They had all the talent last year. So there's a big difference between being, like Mookie Betts went to the Dodgers. He's a great player and a culture setter. Mookie Betts, I mean, we had Justin Turner on. He's like, he's on us day one. Trevor Bauer, the pitcher, comes in. He's just great. You're not going to build a culture. We got the culture, dude. His personality's not built to build a culture. Mookie Betts is. And it's okay. Not everybody is both. I mean, again, Brady, LeBron, Mookie Betts, Kevin Durant. It's a short list. It is Steph Curry's. I think Steph Curry's got this. It's a short list of great and great culture builder. And I think Kawhi is just great. And we saw it with Anthony Davis. He was great. You don't build your culture around him. He's not physically reliable. Kawhi is not sometimes verbally reliable. He's not physically reliable. So it's interesting to watch the Clippers yesterday and so far this year. They're kind of melting down at the end of games. I think they brought him in thinking, okay, great player. And by the way, Jerry West, who had a say in this, most of the guys Jerry West brought in, Magic was a great player and a great culture builder. You know, I mean, Shaq and Kobe are both guys. They're very communicative, great players. You could build a culture with them. Pau Gasol's another guy, verbal, self-aware. So Jerry West dealt with a lot of guys that were good at that. LeBron James, very much like that. By the way, he was in Golden State. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, very much like that. Kawhi's not. He's a mercenary. And those guys are great too. But don't expect them to build this alliance in the locker room. Simply not who Kawhi is. All right, so Michael Irvin, former Cowboy great, said it. He put it out there, and I think he's absolutely right. We'll talk about that. Colin right, Colin wrong, top of next hour, plus Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Coffee I drink coming in, Black Rifle Coffee. Get 20% off your first coffee club order. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Company serving premium coffee to people who love America. Colin right, Colin wrong, top of next hour. So Michael Irvin's a broadcaster, former Cowboy great. He was talking the other day, probably on the NFL Network, and his quote was, the NFL quarterbacks and players now have the power to move. That's something that's been furnished to other sports. He says, but it also means they have the power to leave a team and to come to a team, and Russell Wilson wants Dak Prescott's chair. So I have a theory on this, and is that when Tom Brady married Gisele Bündchen, a supermodel whose net worth is higher than Tom, she makes more than Tom. When you go home at night, what do you talk to your wife about? You talk to your wife about kids. That's a big part of it. And you talk to your wife about your businesses, if you're both professionals. Tom Brady is different since he married Gisele. His brand, TB12, is bigger. He got much savvier with his business. He did more commercials. He was more from the gyms to his branding. He got a TB12 into Whole Foods in the Northeast. He's different. He's a little more global. That's his sounding board. That's his number one ally. And she's, by the way, got, you know, a litany of professionals she works with. So she's got her professionals and the marketing people in her life. And now Tom goes home every night and listens to Gisele say, this is what I'm hearing. And it does change you. And now Ciara, Russell Wilson's wife, is not, as a terms of a brand, is not Gisele Bündchen, but she's an entertainer. And I don't think it wasn't lost on me last week when the four teams Russell Wilson named were all like entertainment cities, Vegas, New Orleans, Chicago and the Dallas Cowboys. You don't think of Dallas as entertainment, but the Cowboys are entertainment. And I don't think, you know, a couple years ago, Russell Wilson, there was a rumor out there about trading Russell Wilson, and he was unhappy. What a shock. It was New York. And I just want you to think about this. Think about Dak Prescott is about somewhere between the 8th and 12th best quarterback in the NFL. You can put him wherever you want, but that's reasonable. Dak Prescott, 2 years ago, had made $50 million in endorsements. Pepsi, Citigroup, 7-Eleven, New Era Cap, Sleep Number, Campbell's Soup. Russell Wilson had Bose. So Russell Wilson goes home in Seattle and sits in his house and watches it rain. And Dak Prescott goes to his house in Dallas and watches it rain money and endorsements. Dak Prescott's like the 10th, 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe slightly better. 50 million endorsements as an NFL player 2 years ago. I heard that number this morning. I was like, what? I mean, what's Patrick Mahomes going to make? What's Aaron Rodgers make? So when I look at these, do I absolutely think Russell Wilson, who is very aspirational, do I think he sits and thinks about that? Oh, all the time. There's stories like 2 weeks ago or a week ago in The Athletic where he went to the Super Bowl and he was just seething watching Brady. So when you, not everybody is like this. Some people, they go play football. Nick Foles just wants to play football. He almost quit twice. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Russell Wilson sees himself as an all-time great. And when you see yourself as an all-time great and you're buried up in the Pacific Northwest where it's techie and coffee and rainy and not really an endorsement mecca, and then you look at Dak Prescott, and I can guarantee you he and his agent, Mark Rogers, know he's making $50 million. By this time, it could be $100 million. And if Dak is the same price as Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's also aware of that. So there's no doubt in my mind Russell Wilson and Ciara would not lose any sleep number if you're talking Dak, would not lose any sleep switching teams with Dak or going to the Cowboys. And by the way, the Cowboys, what do they keep showing Russell Wilson and outsiders? We like Dak. They like him, but no contract. So that's the image the Cowboys sent out to all of us, including Russell Wilson. We like Dak. So I people say this wouldn't happen. I don't know. Jerry Jones, the deal maker. Pete Carroll, by the way, runs the Seahawks now. He's a deal maker. He gave up 2 first-round picks to get Jamal Adams. He may want those first round picks back. Joey Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So we talked a little bit about the Saints quarterback situation at the end of last week. And we're all under the assumption that Drew Brees is retiring. He hasn't officially retired.
Yeah.
And a new workout video has some second guessing if he will actually retire this offseason. His trainer posted a video of Drew Brees pushing a weighted sled, which is my least favorite exercise.
Now, why would you ever do that sled if you weren't going to play again? That, I mean, I could, if we saw him like jogging or like he was in a boxing gym doing stuff for cardio.
Yeah, maybe some burpees.
That's like a training to play again thing, isn't it?
Well, near the end, a caption pops up on the screen that says, not sure why he's so cray-cray today, but something must be brewing.
There it is go. Interesting. It's an interesting thing to do.
It's an interesting thing to do and post because you know that you haven't officially retired and...
He's posting it too. He wants you to see it.
He chose to allow us to see this. Now, his trainer posted the video, but he knows he's being recorded and he knows his trainer is posting it. So, I don't know. I had no thoughts whatsoever about Drew Brees running it back another year, but... Maybe he does. I mean, Drew definitely considers himself to be in the same class as Brady and, you know, as far as taking care of his body and whatnot.
Well,
I mean,
he's been
more banged up, obviously, as of recent.
We're going to 17 games. So, to me, the season's getting longer.
But they do have Taysom Hill under contract.
No,
so, Jameis Winston is a free agent, so maybe they don't bring him back and maybe the quarterback market is too high to bring Jameis back another year. Because I do think there's a market for him right now, but
what if you
they
said
do have Taysom under contract.
Yeah, I mean, what if you, because they're paying Taysom. What if you went to Drew and said, every third start is Taysom? By the way, it'd be difficult to prepare for, or you just tell Drew, 6 starts for Taysom, we'll find the spots. So when you face them, you have no idea who you're getting.
Well, the last 2 years, they've needed to run it for several games with a backup quarterback.
And by the way, when Drew gets these breaks, he's usually a little fresher out of them. That's interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, we kind of all just retired Drew Brees, which, you know, he didn't exactly, you know, leave without that kind of feeling. Like, there's on the field with Tom Brady afterwards. He gives the romantic look back one more time at the stadium as he's walking out. So it's not
he
just kind of fabricated this.
Right,
but
right.
Who knows? Maybe he's working on coming back another year. Did you ever do that exercise, the sled?
I've seen it. I've been in a gym that has it.
But you've never done it?
I'm not really interested.
I have. Yeah, I do it often, and I don't enjoy it.
You do it often?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing Drew Brees weight. I'm sure there's a little more,
It's largely, it's a cross-training and football thing.
Mostly cross-training, yeah. So Alex Smith's incredible comeback last season is looking like his last with Washington. The team will reportedly part ways with Smith this week.
Saw that.
He posted a 5-1 record as a starter in 2020 and helped lead Washington to an unlikely playoff berth. I thought this was a great story. I was obviously very nervous about seeing Alex Smith back out there, as if anyone who has seen the documentary or knows anything about the injuries and what he's been through was obviously a little anxiety when he got out there, but he had an incredible comeback.
Okay, so doesn't this beg the question? So they made the playoffs, they've got the coach, they have a championship defense. Aren't they Sam Darnold's spot? Who's out there? I mean, to me, we said this 2 weeks ago. Chicago and Washington have winning record, playoffs, championship defense, and a coach that has a winning record. Why aren't the Bears and Washington going after... You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, they need a quarterback.
Well, this morning Washington does now.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to run it with Taylor Heineke.
No, that's a backup.
So, either they draft someone or they... You know, they make a trade and move up in the draft.
Well,
I don't know. I think this is a great spot for Sam Darnold. You know, what's kind of interesting is you're describing Washington, and obviously Washington has been more dysfunctional as of late than the Steelers. But like Washington won their division and went to the playoffs. They have a good defense and they have their coach. And they're like, obviously we need to get a quarterback. And the Steelers are like, nah, we'll try it again. Same thing. It's cool. We're just making the playoffs now.
It is interesting.
Now.
Like that is very 19. We said this last week. It's very 1975 NFL. We made the playoffs. Let's bring all the old guys back. Washington's like, we made the playoffs. We're upgrading at that position. That's the way you should do
and
it.
And that's the guy's beloved in the building.
Yeah.
So the Lakers led by as many as 35 points on the way to their 117-91 victory over the Warriors last night. LeBron scored 19 and played a season low 24 minutes in the blowout. This one was their second straight after snapping their four-game losing streak Friday night. They also got Dennis Schroeder back, who contributed 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists. Kyle Kuzma also had 12 points and 11 rebounds. To me, this is this whole season is a story about LeBron, because I don't know why everyone was so high on Anthony Davis at the end of the bubble and assumed that this was going to be an MVP season for him. I just don't I don't consider Anthony Davis to be the 1A in that spot. It's LeBron still. Like, there's this idea it's going to be a passing of the baton. First of all, LeBron's still the best player in the league, so I don't know who he's passing it to. Certainly not on his own team, if he's the better player on his own team. But I always felt like Schroeder was the bigger part of the story here. And
he's the Drew Holiday of the Milwaukee Bucks, that he's not the big name of AD. They're 7-1, the Lakers are, with Schroeder and LeBron and no AD. They're fine without him. I mean, again, to win the championship?
Yeah, they're going to need AD to win a championship, of course. But to get through, everyone was panicking. To me, it's like, okay, they can figure it out when they get Schroeder back. And Schroeder's not injured. He was out because of COVID protocols.
Which, by the way, he complained. He said, I never had it. I tested every day. So Schroeder is not going to be like fatigued with COVID. He came out and literally criticized.
Yeah, he wasn't sick. Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, that's how this goes. Like, if you have contact tracing, you have to be out. But LeBron still has the best odds right now, according to Fox Bet, for the MVP. Joel Embiid is second, and Nikola Jokic is third. I think this is a year for LeBron to win an MVP.
Well, that'd be quite a reach.
I know.
Fifth.
It's so dramatic.
Nutty. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Good stuff. Mark Cuban, top of next hour. It's interesting. Luka, his star, is, I was just talking to Mark the other day about this, is that Luka's better than Dirk at this point. Like, Dirk took a while to become Dirk Nowitzki. Like, Luka walked into this league at 19 and you're like, he could be the all-time leading scorer. Like, it's not, you watch the way the NBA now is shooting threes, it's not a ridiculous thing to say that Luka getting 4 threes a night is going to score faster than even Kareem. I mean, Karl Malone ended up like third all-time. We never, out of Louisiana Tech, thought Karl Malone would be it. When you start playing and scoring 25 a night at 19 years old, you're going to end up on that tote board at the very top. So Mark Cuban's got himself a star. The question is, who's he going to get alongside him? Because Dallas has strangely struggled, I don't know why, in the free agent market in the NBA. You'd think Cuban, the marketer, would be able to land these guys, and for some reason they haven't. I'm going to ask him about it top next hour. Joining me now, Albert Breer, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing lead strategist, Monday morning quarterback. So I see where a leading columnist in town said it's time to trade. John McClain said, "Listen, let's move off Deshaun Watson." It does seem, you know, it's funny. We as a staff we talked about this morning. In the NBA, it's understood. You lose the star, you lose the trade. You just try to get back as much as you can.
Yeah.
But Albert, that's not the way the NFL works. It is not. The Patriots moved off stars all the time. Herschel Walker, Cowboys dynasty was built on that. This is a great college football quarterback draft. Next year, there's not really an overwhelming one. It's supposed to be one of the leaner quarterback years. Could I not argue? It's a great time if you have to move him. This is the time to move him.
Well, there are a few things at play here, Colin. I think the first thing is they don't have to do anything right now. There's no roster bonus due in March. The start of free agency isn't really going to affect Deshaun Watson's value. He's not Carson Wentz or Sam Darnold, where when seats start filling up, you know, quarterbacking seats across the NFL, like now all of a sudden you won't be able to get true value back for him. He's a good enough player where his value is going to hold. And so the Texans have, you know, a good 6-7 weeks until the NFL draft to try and get him back on board. And there's nothing more valuable than a 25-year-old franchise quarterback. So I can 100% understand why, for right now at least, they would take the time to try and amend the situation. I also think that there's going to be some pressure from other owners on the Texans not to do this. And I know that's technically illegal and everything else, but I think there are other teams in the NFL that are looking at this and saying, uh-oh, like this isn't Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz getting traded. This is a young franchise quarterback potentially forcing his way out. And so it'll be interesting to see how that piece of it might affect things going forward. You know, again, the Texans don't have any reason to move forward with any sort of speed right now. To me, the deadline is the NFL draft, because that's when you can get a current year pick. And if you are going to have to replace Deshaun Watson, that's when you would do it. You don't have to do it right now.
All right. J.J. Watt is one of the few NFL defensive guys with a brand. He's on his Instagram. I see in regards to where he wants to go, who's on the narrow list and who is off the narrow list for his services.
Well, I think where he wants to go and where the best money might be could be two different things. You know, the Steelers and the Packers are, I think, at the top of his list for obvious reasons. His brother's in Pittsburgh. You know, obviously, he's from Wisconsin. And so, you know, those two places, contenders, they're comfortable for him. You know, both those places would be great for him. The question with both those places is, what sort of cap space do they have to make it work for him financially? And really, that's a moving target for both those teams right now, because we don't know where the salary cap is going to be, which I think has sort of delayed a little bit of this process for him. Now, you could look at other teams like Indianapolis, like Buffalo, like Tennessee, that might have a little bit more space to work with. And those teams can offer him the chance to contend as well. And so he has good options across the board. It's going to come down, I think, to sort of what he values and how fast all of this happens. Timing does matter. Again, when the cap is set, that's going to affect all of this. You know, I would think that Pittsburgh and Green Bay would still be at the top of his list. You know, the question is how fast those teams are willing to move and how the cap affects all of that.
What, you know, I'm kind of looking at the Washington football team now, and Joy just reported that Alex Smith is out. I saw that right before I came on the show. And I think to myself, championship defense, Ron Rivera did a great job early, bad division. You get a decent quarterback, you could run on this thing for a lot of years. Sort it out for me. Where is Washington on a quarterback? What are you hearing?
Well, they were never going to spend $19 million on Alex Smith. And quite honestly, like the stuff that came out in the GQ article, I think ruffled some feathers there and maybe sped up the process a little bit, where they're separating from him now rather than maybe waiting another week or two. Regardless, he was not going to be there on that number. And I do think that they feel comfortable right now with Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen while they peruse the market. So I think they're going to look at some reasonable options. If Teddy Bridgewater becomes available, if he's cut, then, you know, that'd be an obvious landing spot for him. He's got the background with their offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. Same goes for Cam Newton. He'd be somebody that they could kick the tires on. Ryan Fitzpatrick could be a stopgap. But I'm telling you, Colin, this is a team that is going to be looking at taking a big swing as well. So while they look at some of those options, they're also going to want to kind of keep the flexibility in place where if they can take a big swing at a Deshaun Watson, they've got the capital to go and do it. We saw them take a big swing at Matthew Stafford. Their offer to Detroit for Matthew Stafford was a first round and a third round pick. They are willing to take that sort of big swing on a quarterback, but it's going to have to be a truly elite guy. They viewed Stafford as a truly elite guy. Maybe there's somebody they see in that way in the draft. They haven't gone through that process quite yet. Maybe that guy is Deshaun Watson, but I think a big piece of what they're doing at the quarterback position is going to be maintaining flexibility so when that opportunity comes along, they can take their swing.
All right. What are your sources saying, Albert Breer joining us, on Russell Wilson over the last 2 weeks just laying it out there and going public and being hyper-aggressive? What are your people saying on that?
You know, Colin, I think if you asked me a week ago, I would have been like 80-20, he stays in Seattle. I mean, now I'm maybe closer to like 60-40, 55-45. I think the Seahawks are a little sick of the drama, to be quite honest with you. And it just feels that way to me right now. Like, you know, they're sick of dealing with this year in and year out and having to hear about these things, you know, through the media, through different shows that Russell Wilson appears on. And, you know, they did meet with him after the season. Russell met with his team. And really the three things that Russell Wilson has laid out that he wants: number one, he wanted a new offensive philosophy. He's on board with the hire of Shane Waldron as the new offensive coordinator. So that box is checked. That leaves two more boxes. Number one, he wants a big ticket offensive lineman to come in and help shore up that group. And number two, he wants to be involved and communicate on the direction of the franchise globally. And so whether those two things happen, I think remains to be seen. But I do not think that taking all of this public helped matters. I think a big piece of it was Aaron Rodgers coming out the day after the Packers season ended and saying what he said. It kind of gave Wilson cover to go public with some of his demands. I know part of the idea of what Wilson was doing was to try to create a sense of urgency with the Seahawks. I just don't know that it was digested that way by the people in Seattle, who I think are looking at it right now and saying, Russell, you're playing for one of the best organizations in the league. And this is an organization that's been to the playoffs in 8 of your 9 years. So we've done a lot of things to accommodate you already. You just sort of get that feeling that they're a little sick of the drama that goes along with having Russell Wilson as their quarterback.
Yeah, your comment was mine. I've had a lot of friends text me on this and say, what do you make of Russell? And I say, it was a no way 2 weeks ago, almost no way a week ago. There's part of me now when I honestly believe it's closer to 60-40. And so when Michael Irvin says he's after Dak's job, and I'm like, yeah. Yeah, do you know Dak, as maybe the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, had made $50 million in endorsements as of 2 years ago? I was blown away by that number.
Yeah, and like Colin, I would not ignore, like, what look at the four teams, right? Like, one makes sense from a football standpoint. I do think the Saints could take a big swing at quarterback. And so, like, that, like, you could look at that and say, okay, he wants to go play for Sean Payton. The other three, though, to me, those are all about platform, right? Cowboys, Raiders, Bears. Like, to me, that's like, from a football standpoint, I think Seattle's might be a better place, right, than those three places. But you look at those three, what do those three have in common? Big market, big platform.
Good stuff. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good talking to you on the money, man.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Don't forget, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of the hour. Coming up next, what a disheartening story for a proud NFL franchise. That is coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good to have you in. It is a Monday. Mark Cuban, top of next hour. Wade Phillips, by the way, he's coached the Cowboys and he's coached everybody. He'll be joining us, Wade Phillips. So I saw this story. I always thought, and it'll never happen, obviously, if I owned a team, I'm not a huge fan of rebuilding because tickets are so expensive. You go to the fan base and be like, okay, for the next 4 years, keep paying me the owner, but we're going to be lousy. I'm not into tanking generally. I get it, but I don't love it. And I don't love big rebuilds. Like, hire good people. The Utah Jazz are always competitive. Like, that's the way to do it. You don't have to be a championship team, but you never go to the Utah Jazz last 25 years and it's like, oh, it's unwatchable. Like, the Lakers have mostly been solid. Even when they weren't good, they were trying. You know, the Sixers did. It's just toxic to the fans. It's like $300 to take your family to an NBA game for average seats. I'm not going to have you sit through a nightmare. So this, to me, is just depressing. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, Nick Foles has a shot probably as the starting quarterback for the Bears next year. I mean, come on. March 1st, you're done. Essentially, what the Chicago Bears would be announcing, self-imposed sanctions. They will not be eligible for the postseason next year due to lack of institutional control. They're self-imposed sanctions against making the playoffs. And I don't know what this is. It is weird. Certain organizations, the Steelers always draft receivers well. The Packers always develop offensive linemen. And the Bears can never figure out quarterbacks. It's like Sid Luckman until an hour ago. They can't figure it out. And they're in quarterback hell. They've got no cap space. They don't have a franchise quarterback. And they have a lousy draft pick. It's like Burger King and breakfast. It's just never great. It's just can't. They got the burgers down. They got lunch down. They got night down. Can't get the breakfast right. And they tried to start Nick Foles last year. Remember? They said, we're going to go with Nick Foles. It didn't work. And it went back to Mitch Trubisky. So the Rams at one point, they tried to do the Nick Foles things, and the Jags did it, and the Bears did it, and that's 0-3. And Philadelphia, by the way, they've moved off him twice, and he even won a Super Bowl for him. They moved off him twice. So congratulations to the Chicago Bears. And by the way, his last 11 starts, he's 2-9. That's what he is. And he has as many interceptions as touchdowns. And the Jags went 6-6 when they sat him, and the Bears went 6-3, it says here, without Foles. So he started one stretch in his career about 7-8 years ago. He got about 10 starts in him, and he was okay. But even his legendary playoff run, you know, he couldn't score. One game, 15-10 win over Atlanta at home. So I just think it's such bad news for fan bases. If you're trying to sell that, and by the way, that's a city that's got a really good baseball team or two, and White Sox have a lot of good players, Cubs. And you've got an NBA team that's got a little bit of a life now, and they love the Blackhawks, and Chicago's a city, once the weather turns, people have options outside on the shore, and you're telling me you got Nick Foles. Come on, you got to do better than that as a franchise. I mean, just simply, it's March 1st, you're just telling your fan base, oh, there's other options in Chicago, you may want to explore those. What do we have here? Whoa! J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals. 2 years, $31 million. That came out of nowhere. Per J.J. Watt's Twitter. Now let's not get fooled on this. Is this J.J. Watt's Twitter? So he got $15.5 million a year. He wanted the money. So for J.J. Watt, money was a thing. So DeAndre Hopkins recruited him hard. Hey, listen, man. Arizona's got Chandler Jones. It's a division with Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo. You need pass rushers. That's exciting. J.J. Watt goes to the Arizona Cardinals. How about that? Boy, that division is just nothing but trouble. God, that division. You could do an NFC West Pro Bowl team and take on the rest of the league. Seriously. That division is stacked. Look at all the pass rushers in that division. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. Now you got Carlos Dunlap, Aaron Donald, Bosa. Just the pass rushers in that division. They had DeForest Buckner a year ago. So J.J. Watt is a member of the Arizona Cardinals. So DeAndre Hopkins went after him. Well, he had us all fooled. This morning there was an Instagram, but it was a false Instagram that said he had narrowed his choices down, and we discovered that was a bunch of nonsense.
It was someone said it was his Peloton account.
What's that mean? A Peloton's a bike, but
right. Yeah, it was his account.
How would I know? How would we know publicly what his Peloton account?
I mean, it said like people thought it was his account. He said he doesn't own a bike. I'm looking at his Twitter. He said, I don't own a bike. Stop, which is how that report got thrown out.
I got no problem. He's going after some money. I got no problem. He won 15 and out. He's the only NFL guy on defense. Tell me the top defensive brand guys in the NFL. So there's J.J. Watt.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's just great. Does he have a brand?
He's like the first person you think of when you think of it. He's the best defensive player. He could be argued as the best player in the league.
I would say the Bosas have something. Is it a brand?
Yeah.
It's something.
They have a name.
So J.J. Watt's number one. Aaron Donald.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. Does he have a lot of endorsements? He's probably got some.
Yeah, I mean, he's outspoken. Also just a really big name.
There's just not a lot of... I mean, listen, I can't look at J.J. Watt and say, dude, this isn't nearly as good as the other teams because he has a right to make money. And by the way...
Oh, no, I mean, none of those teams that we were talking about earlier, Buffalo, Green Bay, like, that's... They're better than the Arizona Cardinals.
And you know what's happening in this division... You got to keep up. I mean, so Steve Keim, the GM of Arizona, is like, all right, Jamal Adams and Dunlap go to the Seahawks.
No, I think it's great for the Cardinals.
I mean, it's like recruiting in the SEC. You got to keep up. If you don't have a top 12 class, you can't compete in the SEC. You have to get great high school football play. That's why Lane Kiffin was going to get a job, because he can recruit. And eventually, if you can't recruit at an elite level, you just can't compete in the SEC. In this division, you have to get star players. You have to get – you're facing Russell Wilson twice a year, and now Stafford. The Stafford move, Arizona probably looks at Stafford and thinks, okay, we got three winning quarterbacks potentially. We got to go get J.J. Watt. Hour two next.